Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I have an incredible show today, and I am just very excited to speak to our next guests and express my gratitude for all they do. I want to start first by talking about the show. So this show came into my view by the NAVC. The NAVC is the North American Veterinary Community. And my guests today were recipients of NAVC Gives, which recognizes and supports organizations that make a significant difference in the lives of veterinary professionals and animals. And typically, the awards are given to grassroots efforts that make a real impact in local communities across the country. Now, we're talking about North America. We're focusing on a situation that happened in the U.S. and Texas, but I think this was seen around the world. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. So stay tuned, and I can't wait to welcome my guests. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Amy Beeston of Rancher Navy and Rick Browdy of Wings of Rescue. So you were both recipients of the 2025 NAVC Gives, which recognizes your efforts. So you each received $10,000, and it recognized your efforts during the floods in Central Texas this summer. And that was when the Guadalupe River rose. It varies a little, 26 to 29 feet, depending on where I research, but it rose within 45 minutes. A lot of people probably remember that it was near a campsite, unfortunately, by young children, and it was just horrific to watch. But why I want to have this show today and why I want to have it on Catitude, and, you know, even though it's based in Texas, it's just one example of the amazing dedication and commitment of nonprofits that support animal rescue during times of devastation. I live in South Florida, Hurricaneville. I've witnessed devastation. So thank you for what you do. Your organizations are incredible. So Amy, you are with Rancher Navy. What does Rancher Navy do?
Well, we are an organization here in Texas, and we offer aid to those in the agricultural community during natural disasters. We've worked Helene. We did work some of the floods that were in West Virginia. We've done the wildfires that have been in Texas, as well as the floods. And we are here to assist those in our agricultural community, including those who have pets, to get them the aid that they need during these natural disasters.
Okay, thank you. And you know what? In a lot of my research and videos, one of the things that stood with me was a gentleman that it was horrific, the devastation that he witnessed, but he escaped with him and his cat. A tuxedo cat. That was it. Rick, welcome. You are with Wings of Rescue. Can you tell us what Wings of Rescue does?
Well, Wings of Rescue's mission is to fly at-risk pets from disaster areas and overcrowded shelters to shelters where there's empty kennel space and waiting adopters, and at the same time, not displacing local shelter pets. And then we also provide free spay-neuters to low-income families' pets. So since our inception in 2012, we've flown 82,337 pets to safety. We delivered 906,000 pounds of humanitarian and veterinary aid to disaster victims. And we've responded to every natural disaster in North America. We've led it in all 50 states, 8 provinces in Canada, and about 16 Caribbean nations.
Thank you for all you do. What is the largest pet you've ever transported or animal?
This animal is probably a pot-bellied pig that weighed 450 pounds.
A pot-bellied pig?
Yeah, we've flown miniature horses, cockatoos, foxes, skunks, hedgehogs, cats, dogs, pretty much any small animal.
Oh, small. Under 500 pounds. Okay, if that fits small. But it's amazing what you do. Let's talk about the Central Texas flood. That happened so quickly. Let's start with you, Amy. What was your reaction and how were you able to mobilize and get this in gear? Just like this little snapshot, what was it like for your organization to, you know, when did you realize, oh my gosh, this is horrific and we have to get rolling so we're able to do what we do?
Well, I will start with saying that my daughter was a camper at Camp Mystic, which was the girls' camp that was affected by this flood. So she had been there over 12 years. And so I had a lot of ties to the camp and had been notified in the middle of the night that there was a situation down there. As a matter of fact, I got my phone call at 5 a.m. And the minute I got the phone call, I got out to our executive team who put the call out to our volunteers that we needed to be on standby. One of the things that our organization has is a mounted search and rescue team. Knowing the terrain down there, I knew that they would be needed. They would be able to get into places that people on foot would not be able to access.
Mounted meaning on horses.
Mounted being on horses. And having worked in the eastern part of the U.S. and during Helene, we also had ties to some canine teams that we knew we would be able to access to help us as well. So half of our team deployed, got ready to deploy to go down to southern Texas to help with those efforts, while the rest of our team started getting our list together of potential items that we would need to be able to help the farmers, ranchers, and pet owners, whether that be fencing equipment or fencing supplies, water supplies, because we knew that that was going to be critical in a time like this, as well as feed for all animals, whether it be a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow, chickens. We had lots of needs for chicken feed, as a matter of fact. That was kind of unusual, this particular disaster. So we divided and conquered and started reaching out to our extensive database of volunteers to get everybody on standby.
Wow. I am incredibly amazed you were so able to just function and get everything done, especially with your personal ties to the camp.
I think a little background on me, the way I got involved in Rancher Navy is I was a recipient of their help when my ranch in Texas burned, 10,000 acres burned, including my home.
Oh, wow.
So I seemed to be very calm in a crisis. The animals and the people first before, you know, whatever personal ties I have. And it was interesting. I received a phone call from my daughter. And the first thing she said to me, she wasn't there. She had been a camper, but she called me and immediately she said to me, "Mom, all of these camps have horse programs and I'm worried about the horses. Can you and your group help them?"
Somebody has to speak for them. They don't speak. They can't, you know, pick up the phone. So, okay. Well, that must have been definitely challenging. Rick, what was it like for you when you first heard about this disaster?
Well, it was really depressing because I knew people in Kirk County and, you know, you just worry about their safety first. But as soon as it happened, I think it was the night of July 4th that we were made aware of things going downhill. We just started reaching out to all the shelters there because we knew that they were going to be receiving quite a lot of pets that would be displaced by the disaster. And what often happens in these situations is they euthanize all their pets that are in the shelter prior to the disaster to make room for the ones that are coming in. We didn't want that one to happen. So we reached out to all the shelters that we knew of in that area and were able to arrange flights
Wow.
to safety for over 1,000 pets. Our first flight was on July 8th because we had to get health certificates and get these pets into to San Angelo where we could land safely and transport the pets out. And so we just kept coming in, bringing in supplies. We brought in, I believe, something just under 20,000 pounds worth of humanitarian and veterinary aid so that people would have food for their pets and other supplies, medicines and whatnot. And so we were able to just respond very quickly. And for that next 2 weeks, we're just flying out pretty much every other day.
Thank you for sharing how you got involved, because that was interesting, even though I'm so sorry for your devastation and your loss. Rick, how did you get involved? Because you started Wings of Rescue, right?
I did not start Wings of Rescue. Somebody else started it. I came into Wings of it was started in 2012. I came in May of 2014, and I was running the operation since 2017. We started out as just moving basically pets out of California, where I was living at the time, into the Pacific Northwest. And then we grew into, you know, an international operation. It started with Hurricanes Maria, Harvey, and Irma, basically, is what really put us in the disaster business. And I think we've responded to every hurricane, volcano, earthquake, and a flood and wildfire since then. The LA wildfires were really big yes. for us this year. We had to do a lot of flights out of there. I now live in South Florida too, like you. And it's, you know, you're just sitting there watching the weather all the time, just like what's going to happen next. And we want to make sure that with our flights that we move out the pets that are in disasters prior to the disaster, we get those out of the shelters, and we don't touch any of the pets that come in after the disaster for 30 days, as you want them to be reunited with their families. And that's what we're trying to do, is get that done so that nobody dies to make room for the incoming pets, and that the pets will be reunited with the families who hopefully will come and get them.
Okay. Wow. That's wonderful. How many pets can fit? So say if you just have dogs and cats, no, you know, huge dogs, how many fit on a plane?
Depends what type of plane you use. We did one flight from Hawaii that had 700 pets using a C-130 Hercules, which, you know, was pretty big plane. One of the biggest ones that's out there. Our normal planes will hold between, you know, we do it on a point system because there's no one size fits all. The other day, I had 270 cats on one flight.
Was that like a chorus of meows?
It's kind of funny. They all fall asleep once we hit 10,000 feet. They're in the same cabin that we are. But once we hit 10,000 feet, they're all quiet. And then we come down. It's like having a, you know, trainload of three-year-olds asking, are we there yet?
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to the NAVC Gives recipients, Wings of Rescue and Rancher Navy. They were both recipients of the award from NAVC for their work with the floods in Central Texas. Okay, so I'd like to ask both of you, were there any moments during the flooding during this disaster that really surprised you?
That's a very hard question.
Just whatever you think of top of your head.
I think the thing that did surprise me about this particular disaster was how quickly the water rose. And it was how quickly the water rose. And we have seen floods and I've seen hurricanes, but because of the terrain in which this river lies, the amount of devastation and how quickly there was so much devastation, I was rather surprised. We had mostly worked with wildfires. We had worked a couple of hurricanes, but very few floods. So that's probably what surprised me the most.
Wow. Rick, what surprised you the most?
Well, it was kind of interesting to me, and surprise in a very pleasant way, was we would land and we were landing in San Angelo and there were people that had lost their houses, lost every possession, and they were there to help move the pets out of the shelters with no regard to their own situations. And not only were they there, but they were cheerful and there was nobody talking about politics or anything like that. They were just talking about, we want to save these pets. And it was kind of a triumph of the human spirit that I thought you don't normally see in this, you know, fractious days where people were getting together from, you know, all nationalities, because there were Hispanic people there as well. Everybody was getting along and everybody was there for the pets. And it was just a lot of selfless effort. And that really surprised me, because I've seen a lot of that dissipate in America over the last year.
That is good to hear. As you were talking about this, I could feel just the emotions of what you're describing and trying to actually be there. And the selflessness of these people was incredible. We need more of that. So, Rick, how do you stay calm during moments of crisis? Are you naturally calm?
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing. I've survived an airplane crash once. I guess I figured once I did that, I could do anything, you know, and remain calm, because there's no use in panic, quite frankly. It doesn't achieve anything. So, you know, if you try to detach yourself a certain way and not allowing yourself to be caught in the emotion of a situation, because you know you're there to do a job and to do a job quickly and efficiently. And you want to also be able to do it with compassion for the people that are affected. And, you know, so you just have to stay within yourself.
Well, thank you. Amy, how do you stay calm during, you know, times of crisis? This is, you know, your home, your area. How do you do it?
I have to agree with Rick. You do compartmentalize everything. When you get there, you have a job to do. And the people that we are working with, it's quite possibly the worst day of their life. And I agree with him. We're there to do a job. We have tasks to do. And, you know, we have to do it with compassion. Everybody that is there that is being affected, they are truly in crisis and they need a calming, soothing voice. And so we try to be those people as well. That's kind of what we have learned. You know, a lot of times when we come to a crisis like this, you know, a lot of us have been there. We've done this before. And so we try to be the calming voice, the one who is forward thinking, because they can't think at that moment in time about what are the next steps.
Okay, thank you. Amy, what would you say is the number one thing for our listening audience? So we have, most of our listeners are in the U.S., cat lovers, they might have dogs also. What would you say is the most important thing that they need to be aware of just in case there's a natural disaster? Because with global warming and all that kind of stuff, there's strange things happening everywhere. I'm waiting for a blizzard in South Florida, to tell you the truth, because, I mean, floods in the mountains, and there's all kinds of crazy. So what would you tell people, which, you know, like I said, mostly cat lovers, that this is what you should do just in case anything happens?
My best advice for those of you who have pets at home is to make sure that your animals are chipped or well identified. When they do get separated from their humans, people like Rick and myself are trying to reunite them. And with cats and dogs, it's very easy. You can chip them. With larger animals, whether it be a potbelly pig or a horse, if a disaster is impending, you know, if you do not have a way to brand your horse or tattoo your horse, make sure that they have a neck band on or a halter on or some kind of something on them that identifies them, so that we can try to reunite them or at least house them until we can find them proper home.
Okay, thank you. Rick, what would you tell our listening audience?
Well, I think Ellen was spot on in what she said about microchips. They're so important. Another thing that you have to remember is if you move, you change your telephone number, you have to update that on your microchip registration because they won't find you otherwise. And the other thing is in natural disasters, the one thing I've learned is, especially if you've got cats, you need to have crates ready. Everybody should have a crate so that you could put your cat in a crate because it's really hard to wrangle a cat in a hurricane or in a flood. And you want to be able to transport them quickly out of if you have to evacuate. So having supplies, having some food around, but making sure that you have a plan in effect of where you're going to go, how you're going to get your pet to where you're going to go, and knowing what's within your region. You know, is there a church that's a central place that you and your family can meet up with your pets? If, let's say, your wife or your husband is somewhere else, is there a place that you can meet? In the LA wildfires, we found that so many people just couldn't find each other because a lot of the cell phone towers were out. So you just have to be prepared. And especially for cat owners, that's the hardest thing to just plan for. It is you just have to have a microchip, a neck band, a collar would be great, but also keep your mic registration up to date. And please have a crate by that you can transport your cat in, because don't think you can carry your cat throughout a disaster. You can't.
And for everyone listening, I've learned from other shows, worst case, if you have that cat that you just cannot get a hold of, pillowcases help. Put them in the pillowcase, then get them loose in the crate. But it helps, you know, because during a time of natural disaster, if you have to leave, you want to get your cat. And it doesn't matter if you scare your cat a little. Your cat's already probably freaked, but you want to get your cat in the crate. Amy, with Rancher Navy, do you have any numbers on how many supplies were delivered to those in need?
We do. Actually, we did deliver 8,000 pounds of animal feed to local small animal shelters there in the Central Texas area. We did 65 pallets of livestock feed, 500 square bales of hay, 100 round bales of hay, and we did 30 tons of essential supplies, whether that would be water buckets, fencing supplies, electrolytes for the animals. And we were very, very lucky that our National Guard helped us transport a lot of these items across Central Texas for us.
Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Rick, how many pets were displaced and that you helped reunite with their families through Wings of Rescue?
That was done by the ones that stayed in the area. We took the pets that were in the shelters prior to the disaster. Those are the ones we flew out so that these pets that were coming in had a safe place to go to without anybody dying to make room for them. So we took about 1,067 of pets out.
I understand what you do, but if you hadn't removed the pets from the shelters, the ones that were there that went to the shelters wouldn't have a place to go.
They would have been killed.
My bad. I should have worded the question better, but 1,067. Amy, in retrospect, would you have done anything differently with Rancher Navy? Is there anything looking in hindsight and saying, oh, I wish we would have done this?
Not in this particular situation. The thing that I don't think we were quite prepared for, being an agricultural organization, the agricultural need wasn't as large as the need for pets. So we normally would bring in large animal supplies, hay, livestock feed, fencing supplies, items like that. The need in this particular situation was more for household pets, that we were very, very fortunate that we have a very large reach and we were able to get from a lot of those supplies donated and transported to help those people out as well. A number of animal rescues, as well as the Humane Society, who did take in a lot of large animals as well.
Okay, thank you. Rick, is there anything with Wings of Rescue that you would have done differently?
Not really, because we have already laid in a supply, you know, an emergency supply. So we had crates ready. We had our friends at Cuddly were, you know, very generous with donations of dog foods. We had medicine. The Humane Society of North Texas is an amazing organization, and they brought so much stuff, you know, made medications available and so much other stuff that we were able to just go in right away. So it was almost as if we had planned the whole thing out. We were ready. We were ready within 24 hours.
Incredible. I want to thank you both so much for coming on Catitude. Where can our listeners find out more about your organizations? You're both nonprofit, and I would like our listeners to know more about you. And if they want to donate, possibly volunteer. Amy, can you go first?
And yes, the Rancher Navy does have a website. It's ranchernavy.org, as well as we are on all of the social media platforms. Again, we are a 501c3. We mostly do emergency response in the state of Texas. However, we have recently, in the last 2 years, responded to disasters in other parts of the U.S.
Okay, thank you. And Rick, where can people find out more about Wings of Rescue?
You can go to wingsofrescue.org, or you can go to our Facebook page, which has about 500,000 followers. And we have Instagram and Threads, and I think we might have a TikTok thing going as well. Just, you'll learn about it. There are lots of videos on YouTube, and you can see what we do in real time.
I want to thank you both so much for what you do. Thanks to your organizations. We appreciate it so much. So thank you, and congrats on your NAVC Gives Award.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What an incredible show. I mean, truly amazing to find out what these organizations do. For those of you listening, this occurred July 4th through 7th in 2025 in Central Texas. It was the Guadalupe River. You can view it, you know, the devastation, of course, on YouTube or something, to see the devastation that was done. Thank you, Rancher Navy and Wings of Rescue. I also want to just put out a little disclaimer, if you will. I know we're a Catitude and we're about cats, but many of us have ties to other animals in our lives. You know, we might have horses as well or dogs, but it's important to be aware of organizations that do what they do during natural disasters. And we have some great tips, as well as microchipping and having a crate available for your cat. You would not believe how many people I've run into that have like 6 cats. 2 crates. How do you do that? 3 cats in a crate, that's not going to happen. So, great advice, even, you know, though it was not specifically cat-based. So, I hope you have enjoyed the show. I want to thank my cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Dennis walks into his crate. Molly would be a challenge, and Charlotte, I would have to run all over the place to try to get her in a crate, but I would do it if there was ever a disaster. And yes, I do have enough crates for all of them. Actually, I have an extra of 4. So thank you. Thanks to my guests, Amy from Rancher Navy and Rick from Wings of Rescue, for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my listening audience. I know we weren't just focused on cats, but I appreciate you listening to this episode. It's important to be aware of, you know, these organizations that help us out during devastation. Please be sure to visit their website. You can learn a lot of great information. And of course, thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for all the magic he works to make every episode sound amazing. And remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.